Would you open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Samuel? There's Bibles in front of you you can use. Look on with one another. The title of this morning's message is The Making of a Mother. The Making of a Mother. Ladies, don't forget, mums, grandmas, don't forget to get your cup. We have a gift for you. Please don't leave without getting your gift. We could ask that once we start the teaching of the Word, that we could have as minimal moving so we don't just be a distraction to one another. The Making of a Mother, 1 Samuel chapter 1. The role of a mother is only understood by two people. Mothers themselves and our Lord Jesus Christ. In Australia today, there are more than 780,000 single mother families. Somewhere between 84 and 88% of lone parent families in Australia are those of a single mother home. The time of 1 Samuel in Israel's history was a period where the nation, after the book of Judges all about those guys, Gideon and Samson and so on through. And the place was in a wreck, Israel. It was in dire straits of godly leadership, and I think today we are told to pray for our politicians. And I say this with a heart for godly leadership, is that there are very few now statesmen in politics. By that, many politicians will do just whatever needs to be done to get a vote. And I think what the nation of Australia is looking for are leaders who will actually say something and go, but this is what I believe. I think that's wrong. I think that's right. And that's where the statesmen have disappeared. Israel was in dire straits of godly leadership, and God needed a man to lead his people. But to get his man, he first had to get hold of a woman, a mother, to bring forth a child who would indeed lead the nation of Israel. Mothers, your role in raising your children to serve the Lord can never be understated. The period in Israel's history was bleak. The priesthood was defiled and weak. Today, isn't that the same in our world? Many people look at those in the ministry now as dangerous. Look what's happened. People have lost trust. There were no prophets at this time speaking powerfully from the Lord. No one like Billy Graham. Billy Graham was gone. Billy Graham swept through nations and he would speak and he would speak to a nation. The law of Moses was being ignored. People don't have the Bible. The Bible in schools is many places not allowed. It's disallowed. You can have everything else. You can have meditation. You can have Islam. You can have Confucius. You can have yoga. You can have Buddhism, just don't bring the Bible. Don't let that in. And the Bible was being ignored throughout the land of Israel. And it says in the book of Judges that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In other words, just do as you please, you know, and that's how society lives today. It's, well, as long as it's not affecting me, they can do what they like. You know, and the neighborhood has changed, hasn't it? When you were a child and you were growing up in your neighborhood, you had aunts and uncles that were not your aunts and uncles. I still remember borrowing some shillings from my brother's Elastoplast, so those who are old enough to remember that tin in which he put his shillings in, and taking all the kids in the neighborhood down to the corner shop because you didn't have shopping centers then, and I bought everyone ice creams for everyone. I'm paying. And you know what? even the sixpenny ones, you know, where we had a double cone. You want a sixpenny one for this bloke too. Anyway, I got caught out. And the tragedy of our changing world is the result of the events that I was at a Friday in Margaret River where things just fall apart in a way that they should never fall apart. The death of seven people. And God was looking to bring forth hope to a dark nation, His nation, a new beginning, a new life. Through the arrival of a baby, it's significant the message fits in with the baby dedication today. And you know what? Babies are a signpost of the future. What's Nathaniel going to grow into? What's the world he's going to grow into? Their conception and birth, as I stated previously, is a miracle that only God can do. Man can't create life. Only God can create life. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In our text this morning, God would use a barren woman to become a mother, just as He used Sarah to bring forth Isaac, Jacob, Esau to Rebekah, and Joseph to Rachel. But the home of this, that we're going to read about, this mum, was a divided home. How many of you, you know, you think that, well, we often think that all the people in the Bible grew up in homes of bliss. You know, everyone just walked around and any time someone walked in the room, it was, oh, the angels sang and no one had bad breath and everyone's hair was just, you know, like the old Charlton Heston movies, you know, the Ten Commandments. And you walked in, you had the white robe, it was just white all the time. You had that beautiful beard and the long hair and everything you did was just smooth. This was a divided home. It was a home that was full of heartache and brokenness. And many of us grow up in divided homes. Let's read it. Verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramath in Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zaph. Just by the way, ladies, mums, any future mums, you've got a lot of great names there for your kids. This is Tohu, this is Zaph, Elihu, Jerohim. And he had two wives. There's the problem right from the beginning. God didn't say and ordain or allow polygamy. Israel had moved into that. It was man's choice. It wasn't from the beginning. Two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. In Shiloh they had the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. The temple hadn't been built in Jerusalem as yet. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters, so she had a lot of kids. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. Hannah was his first wife. Although the Lord had closed her womb, notice that, God had made it so Hannah couldn't have children. There was a plan to this. And her arrival also provoked her rival, that is, her rival was Peninnah. So there you got a house. In some of your Bibles it says her adversary. So in the house you got war. And she would provoke Hannah severely to make her miserable. Why? Because the Lord had closed her womb. And so it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. And therefore Hannah wept and did not eat. It really broke her heart. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, men learn a lesson. Elkanah's not going to show you the right thing to do. He says, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? First thing you go is, duh. First thing, that's what men are good at. But in Australia, we don't go, duh. We go, what? That means in Hebrew, I haven't been listening to you and been watching your mouth move, and you've been saying a lot of words. I have no idea what you're talking about. It's abbreviated and it's, what? Have you been listening? Yeah. Now, what are you talking about? Next big mistake. Am I not better to you than 10 sons? No. Lesson. And I'm guilty of it as well. Men, there are times that your wife does not need your explanations as to why. Men operate in, well, this is the problem, so this is how we fix it. We need to do this and this. And we go into the mechanical mode because that's how we think. We think, well, no, what you're upset, but look, there's no reason to be upset because we can do this, this, and this. We have all the dots in the right place, the right pegs to go in the right holes. That's not going to change anything. Explaining. The Bible says we are, as men, to live with our wives with understanding. And so they need, at these times, simple understanding. You go, Keith, you just shot me right between the eyes. I don't understand. How am I to understand? First thing to do, men, say nothing. You're doing really good until you open your mouth. Listen. Take a step back and think, and this is where the Bible says, men, this is your job. How to be a husband? Just love her. You can do that because God has created you, gifted you to love her. That's all she needs. Say nothing. Comfort her, love her. She's broken, she's frail, she's fragile. She doesn't need reasons, understandings. This is the plan, none of that. Hannah, in modern translation, her name today would be Grace. That's what it means. She was barren. Penina, her name in translation from Hebrew today would be Pearl. So Elkanah was married to Grace and Pearl. Hannah was his first wife, but being barren, he took on another wife, Penina, so he could have a family. There's the man fixing the situation, and he's just made it 1,000 times worse. Elkanah was a man who honored the Lord, but his living and his polygamy was skewed, as was the nation of Israel. He was living, but the way that the thing they were living in those days, they were doing their best, and he was loving the Lord, but he was off course. He didn't trust the Lord with Hannah. Hannah, let's pray. Let's just seek. Let's just wait upon the Lord. You're not having children. Let's just wait upon the Lord. Let's continue to seek the Lord. Let's continue to pray. And he says, no, I'll fix it. I'll get another wife. Idiot. Abraham did the same. He married Hagar. And if you've read the comics, Hagar was horrible. Elkanah tried to fix things himself. The moment you attempt to fix things that only God can do, it never works well. It never works well. God's original plan was that one man be married to one woman for one lifetime. And during the annual visit to the tabernacle at Shiloh with his family, it was not a joyful time for Hannah. Hannah didn't go, oh, great. We're going to worship the Lord. Good. She knew what's coming. If she loved the Lord, she knew Penina is just going to mock me again. Each year, that was coming around as a time to go there and be mocked and laughed at. Elkanah and his typical male thinking thought he could fix things, so he would give Hannah a double portion. I'll just give you more stuff. It doesn't fix it. Man, it doesn't fix it. Just give him more stuff. Because it did not fix the problem or help Hannah's broken spirit. That was the problem. First point, the problems of life that God allows. There are times in our life, and all of us, each and every one of us, we all have problems at different times. Ones we're coming out of, new ones we're going through, others, yep, we haven't discovered. And often as Christians, we kind of wonder, well, why, God, am I going through this situation? Why is our family actually going through this? Why have I lost my job? Why has illness come now? Hannah, whose name means a woman of grace, lived the life of anguish and heartbreak. Yet she was indeed a godly woman. She was doing the right thing. But God was allowing storms to come through her life. We can often think, well, if I go to church and some families come to the way, I've been to church today, man, better be some good ticks coming up ahead. Got a gold star, I was in there. And maybe even next week I might come once more, but don't push me too far. But if I definitely came next week, then God, it better be something really good going to happen. It doesn't work that way. Life's not like that. God doesn't work that way. Hannah, during this difficult time of barrenness and persecution, was being molded, the clay, shaped, refined, the heat, getting rid of the rubbish and bringing out the good stuff, making diamonds out of coal. She was being refined, heated into becoming the most godly, gracious woman, a woman of worship and a woman of prayer. So too in our lives, the very things that we struggle with and in, the storms that sweep over our days, the heartaches, heartbreaks we experience, God uses to shape us. He allows them as we are the clay, and He is the potter to become the men and women that only refining creates. James says in the book of James, brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. It's like a muscle. It's only under strain when the heat of working out in the gym and the muscle begins to break in little bits and pieces. It's tested that then it repairs and it gets stronger and bigger. So let it grow, James says. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be complete, needing nothing. Storms, trials, and barrenness are used by the Lord in our lives to turn us to Him. It happens. To come before Him and to pray. Verse 9. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she, that's Hannah, was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord, and she wept in anguish. This is a godly woman. She's done nothing wrong, and God has placed in her a barrenness of her womb. You see, the plan is coming forth because God is looking for a man. He's looking for a leader. But to get the man, He's got to get a hold of the woman who's got to pray a certain way. So Hannah went to the Lord to pour out her heart before Him, to weep before Him alone in His presence, to lay her anguish at His feet. Mothers, this is where mothers spend those times that no one knows about but you. People sitting next to you today, family, others at home. They don't know what you do in the early hours as a mother. While the rest of the house sleeps, it's in those moments, those hours, around the world in homes are mothers on their knees crying and praying for their sons, for their daughters, for their husbands. This is what mothers do. In the book of Hebrews, the writer says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hannah went to the right place. Mums, wives, your husband is a man. He's weak, because it says the weaker vessel of the woman. That means we're weak as well. You can't look to your husband to be God. Good point. That's the phone just confirmed that. You can't look to your husband to provide in your life, in your emotion, that which only God can do. He's a man. He can do so much, but he's not God. You need, in those times, like Hannah, she went to the right place looking for the right one. Elkanah loved her, but Elkanah couldn't fix her. You remember the Syrophoenician woman, the story in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. It says Jesus left Galilee, he went to the region of Tyre, and he didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but a mother found him. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit. She begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile born in Syrophoenicia, Jesus told her, "First I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It's for whom I've come. It isn't right to take the things of God, the food from the children of Israel, and throw it to the Gentiles at this time." And she replied, "That's true, Lord. But even the dogs under the tables are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates." Good answer, Jesus said. Great answer. He says, "You can go home. For the demon has left your daughter." And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. You see, this mother went to the right one for help. But Keith, Hannah's not a mother yet. Ah, good question. In God's eyes, bear with me, Hannah was a mother. She was praying like a mother. She was loving like a mother. Physiologically, she had not given birth to a child. And there are sadly some women who have given birth on the flip side to little ones, yet are not mothers in heart nor life. But so too there are women, whether by not being married or by barrenness, unable to have a child in marriage, yet are like mothers in the Lord's eyes too. Hope you are listening. I had a funeral for a friend. She wasn't a relative, but we called her Auntie. She was Auntie Iris. And I was privileged to be able to do her funeral. There was a place, and there's a those of you into football, they're doing a series on the Noongar, best Noongar footballers in Australia. The first one is on Polly Farmer. Polly Farmer grew up in an orphanage called Sister Kate's. In Sister Kate's, Aboriginal babies were brought, and there they were raised. Auntie Iris, who I buried, had never married, had never had a child, but she worked at Sister Kate's and lived most of her time at Sister Kate's. She was called Auntie Sweetie. She was called Auntie Sweetie because she would give a lolly to all the children. Sweets, we would call them those days. And she helped raise many, many little Aboriginal babies to grown men and women. And she was like a mother to them all. She loved them like a mother. She held them like a mother. And she prayed over each of them like a mother. And so, Hannah as yet hasn't had a child, but in God's eyes, she's a mother. Then it says, verse 11, Hannah then made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, notice what she says, she's a servant of the Lord, and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I'll give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. She says she'll raise him like Samson was raised. She'll raise him as a Nazarite. She'll raise him so that he loves the Lord and serves the Lord and has a life that's dedicated to God. That's what that's meaning there. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord, she's in the temple, that Eli the priest, he watched this, he sees this woman laying there on her knees, crying and praying. And he says, now Hannah spoke in her heart and her lips moved, but nothing was coming out, no voice. How does a mother pray? Hannah's prayer was a prayer that was born out of sorrow, suffering, and heartache. That's how a mother prays. It is from those trials, those storms, those heartaches and heartbreaks that God's hands press in on each of us to create in us a spirit that prays from the very depths of our souls. Prayers so loud that they ring out and are amplified in heaven and God hears them clearly. Yet not a sound is heard on earth. Not even a whisper emanates from the holy cry from our deepest, innermost being. Paul tells us that this is how prayer is in its deepest part in all of our lives. He says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's prayer so deep that all you can do is sigh. Move your lips, but no words are coming out. You're praying from your spirit. It's moving God. It's loud in heaven and is silent upon the earth. You see, it is this prayer that moves mountains. It's this prayer that never relents. It is this prayer that ignites the power of God into situations that seem impossible to be changed, to change, to be changed for the glory of God. And here, what happens to mothers is mothers, and it did happen to Hannah. Hannah is misunderstood. Mums are misunderstood. Well, you don't love me, you don't care for me, you just tell me, you just keep saying this. Wrong. They're misunderstood. What they're telling you is how much they love you. Otherwise, if they didn't tell you and say those things over and over again, they wouldn't even bother saying it. Mothers are misunderstood. Hannah was misunderstood. The prayer that God seeks from all mothers is this prayer, mums, listen, that Hannah prayed. She said, I will give to you, Lord. If you give me a child, I'll give him to you forever. You give me him, and I'll give him back to you forever. He's yours. In Psalm 127, verse 3, the psalmist says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. It says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. The greatest prayer, and mums, you need to listen to this bit because here's the difficult part that you face. The greatest prayer, yet at times the most difficult prayer that you as a mother can pray is this. Listen very carefully. Lord, I place my children in your hands. I give them completely to you in every way. Completely. to let go of those you love so much. But for Hannah, she had come to a place, even before she was in child, to know that every child is a gift from God. She, without hesitation, would trust in God's precious love to place the child she so desperately wanted to have, to hold, to raise, but her greatest love and desire, her treasure, that child, she would place in God's ever-loving arms and say, Lord, he is yours to do with whatever you wish. When you mums have come to this place that Hannah did, it is there and then that you reach your very purpose for being a mother to that gift of the child that God has given to you at that moment. But it means, mums, a surrender of your heart completely and without reticence, having a heart of complete faith and trust in God. Hannah's prayer was not to have a son. Oh, well, that's what it said. No, no. Hannah's prayer was not to have a son who would be the richest or smartest or the best looking, but one who would serve God with total dedication. Church, I think you need to change the way that you pray so often for your kids. Nothing wrong with praying for them to be great footballers or surfers or doctors or lawyers or plumbers or bricklayers or whatever. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But may I encourage you to also pray, firstly, that they would be men and women of God. That they would serve the Lord. That they would serve the Lord and love Him with all their hearts. You see, this is the prayer that God desires to hear from mothers. Was God waiting for such a prayer? Absolutely. The plan, the barrenness, the heartache, the anguish, it now had reached its place where she prayed, for God says, this is the prayer, and now I'm acting. Jesus said, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. It's not an easy prayer, because sometimes in intensive care and situations, it may be, Lord, if you want to take my son, if you want to take my daughter, I give them to you. It's not easy. But this is the prayer that Hannah was praying. It's hard to give up, mums, to let go. I did a cot death here in Secret Harbour while back, and the police said, we can't get the mum who's passed, the child out of mum's hands. Can you do that? The child was dead. Mum wouldn't let the little one go. So I went into the house. I still know the house. Drive past it, remember it each time I go past. Went in there, knelt down. And I said, God wants to look after your child. She said, I just can't let him go. I can't let my baby go. And I prayed and I said, God wants to look after your child. Put him in his hands. And she eventually opened and I passed, grabbed the child, passed the child over. We were allowed to take the little baby away. Not easy. Mums, it's the Lord that gave you the child. It's His. If you hang on in your grip, that loved one won't get the blessing that God has given them to you to have. Eli looked at this woman. He says, you're drunk. Can you imagine? She's gone to the temple to pour out her heart, gone to the prayer meeting to give her heart, and the priest's coming. You come here and you're just drunk. She's broken. She said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit," verse 15. "I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant," she says again, "a wicked woman. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant your petition, which you've asked of him." In other words, I pray God answer your prayer. Notice verse 18. And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." And so the woman went her way and ate. She's going to eat something. Why? Something's changed. And her face was no longer sad. Note that. Something has happened. Hannah's faith as a mother was so strong that it rose above the misunderstanding and criticism of the nation's highest spiritual leader, Eli. You see, when you give your best to the Lord, it is not unusual to be criticized by those who ought to encourage you. It happens. When God calls you into the ministry, calls you to serve, usually those who don't understand are the closest ones to you, family. Moses was criticized by his brother Aaron and sister Miriam. David was criticized by his wife. Mary of Bethany was criticized by Judas. Yet all three were commended by the Lord. John Bunyan said, listen to this, "In prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart." Did you hear that? I'm going to say it again. "In prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart." And this is how Hannah prayed. She prayed from here. Eli accused Hannah of pouring out too much wine when in reality she was pouring out her soul to God in prayer. Mother's note, 5 times Hannah has called herself a handmaid of the Lord, which revealed her heart of submission to the Lord and His servants. Hannah leaves the tabernacle rejoicing. Verse 18, she went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Why was Hannah now able to rejoice? What had removed her brokenness? Hannah heard Eli's words, and she, as mothers do, held those words to her heart. That's a promise, I'm taking that. And she trusted in the Lord to answer her prayer. Hannah had no tangible evidence of her prayer being answered. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Mums, keep praying in spite of what you see. Mothers, this morning, are you discouraged or depressed? And those of you who aren't mothers as well, maybe you're discouraged, depressed. The cure lies in not seeing your situation change, but in hearing God's word and choosing to believe it. Well, God will get me through this. God will bring an answer. God will help me in this. Do not despair. Hannah shows us how to cast aside our despair and to begin to rejoice. And as you do, our enemy can't halt what God is wanting to conceive in you and birth through you. Verse 19 and 20. Then they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. This is Hannah and Elkanah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called him Samuel. Samuel, El is God, saying, "Because I've asked for him from the Lord." Samuel means asked of God. Hannah's faith and gracious spirit shone like a beacon in a dark, fallen world that had abandoned God and all hope. Mums, as we wrap this up this morning, this is your calling. It's not easy. In the midst of a world awash in moral ruin, your prayers, your devotion to God can birth a godly gift that our world is in desperate need of. It's creating a home where there's love, grace, and forgiveness. It's raising your children in a way that they go to you and you pray about it, you turn them to the Bible. Hannah was driven by her barrenness. Maybe you're barren in your life at this moment. Maybe you're barren about things that aren't happening in your lives today. And you want to have fruit. Now, what the Bible says is fruit is this. You want to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what the Bible calls fruit. Mums, that's the fruit. You see, God will use the heartaches and sorrows. He'll get his hands on that piece of clay and he'll push them in and hold them and put the thumb in deep. But he's creating a mother. He's making a mother who'll pray. Prayers that heaven hears, that say no sound on earth, that produce hope, miraculous life, to things that appear dead. Maybe your marriage. Maybe your relationship with your son, grandson, granddaughter. Hannah purposed in her heart that if the Lord will in mercy take away her reproach, her barrenness, she will dedicate his gift entirely to his service. This is such a prayer that God will always honor. You see, it's one thing to tell the Lord about your burdens. It's quite another to cast them on the Lord. This morning as we close, will you lay your soul before God, your anguish? We each have things that in that moment that weigh us down. No one else knows about them because we keep them locked. They're too hurtful. But if you give them over to the Lord, you can do that today. If you cast them to the Lord, God can bring new life to you. Psalm 113 says, He gives the childless woman a family, making her a happy mother. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Seven people were killed in Margaret River. Second largest shooting since Port Arthur. Happened in a home. Grandparents involved. Mother involved. Children involved, grandchildren involved. Our world is spiraling. Life is so short for each of us. We can be gone in an instant. What do we leave? Should we go? The greatest gift you can leave is for your family to know where you've gone. To know that you have gone to be with Him who died for you at Calvary, Jesus Christ. If you've not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you'd like to become a Christian today, you say, well, Keith, oh man, you mean expect me to change? Nope. God does that. But I am asking you, and God's inviting you today, to give your life to Him, to let Him bring change and love and grace, and to do the miraculous in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in you. Mothers, you've been called by God. You've been given the privilege to love His children that He's lent you, to raise them as His, to raise them to the time that they call Him their own Savior and Lord. The world has changed. You know, we never even had a key to be able to lock our back door. On hot nights, we slept on the lawn. Children would go off during the day and come back in the dark. We didn't know where they'd gone. But today, it's a dark, dark world. But God wants to bring some light into your life. If you'd like to receive Christ today, we'd love to pray for you at the front. If you'd like to be prayed for like Hannah, and you say, well, we've tried every which way, let us pray for you today for God to bring fruit in your life. But if God has spoken to you and you've gone, you know, I came here for this, or I really would like to know about God, could you tell me more? We'd love to speak with you. Let's stand and let's worship. Lord.